Maria, your project is on memory and post-traumatic stress syndrome. What is the problem that you're addressing here?
Well, I'm studying a mechanism underlying a particular memory phase, which is called fear memory extinction. So this process is altered in PTSD patients. So PTSD is a psychiatric disorder which may occur following the exposure to a traumatic event, for example, following a sexual assault, the death of a loved one, a natural disaster, or like in soldiers or after a car accident. This disorder is characterized by a condition of hyperarousal, hypervigilance. So they have often panic attacks, anxiety, but also it's characterized by a cognitive feature, which is, in particular, they have intrusive memories. So these intrusive memories basically consist of the persistent recalling of the traumatic event in the form of flashbacks and nightmares.
So, is there a chemical basis behind that?
Yes, but the nature of this disorder is not very well understood. So that's why currently there's no effective therapeutic treatment. So some patients respond well to the treatment and some patients don't. And in particular, it's very difficult to treat the memory aspects of this disorder. So that's why for me it's important studying this memory aspect of the disorder.
So at this point, what you're saying is we don't really understand why there's these certain memories that cause flashbacks, why the brain just can't let them go. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what do you think is happening?
Well, there are many studies. So the thing is that many people live traumatic experiences in their life, but only some of them develop PTSD. And it's not very well clear why some of these people are more vulnerable to develop PTSD. This is what is unclear. But it's clear what happened in the brain in these patients because there are a lot of studies. For example, there are two brain regions importantly involved in this process, which are called the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala. So what happens is that PTSD patients have hypoactivation of the prefrontal cortex and then hyperactivation of the amygdala. So this means that usually, like in normal situation, in a normal person, the amygdala activates when we live an experience. So the amygdala assigns the emotional importance to an event and activates a response. Usually it's a fear response. So in PTSD patients, the amygdala is hyperactivated. So there is this abnormal fear response. And often this fear response happens following safe events or in situation of safety, not in real dangerous situations. And the prefrontal cortex instead controls the activity of the amygdala in normal person and usually constrains the activity of the amygdala. Basically, tells the amygdala that there is no reason to activate, to feel fear, if the situation we are living doesn't represent a danger for us. But in PTSD patients, this brain region is hypoactivated, so it doesn't control the activation of the amygdala. So that's why there is this high response to fear.
Is there something wrong then with the communication between those two parts of the brain?
Yes, this is what I'm actually studying, the communication between these two brain regions.
So, how are you going to go about your research? How have you got it set up?
Well, I'm using animal models. I'm using mice. So I exposed the animal to a traumatic event. And basically, it's a behavioral paradigm which is called fear conditioning. The traumatic event will be a very mild electric shock. So what I do, I expose the animal to a sound, a tone, which is a safe stimulus, but I make the animal do an association between this stimulus to a traumatic event, an aversive stimulus. So I exposed the animal to a sound and then to an electric shock for several times. And then this phase is called conditioning. So the day after, I will test whether the animal has formed a memory for this event, whether the animal has done this association, this memory association. So I put back the animal into the behavioral chamber, and then I expose the animal to the sound alone without any aversive stimulus. And if the animal has done this memory association, it will have fear. So it will have a fear response. And it's very easy to measure this fear response because the animal freezes. This is what it's called. So it's just the absence of any movement except for respiration. So if the animal freezes, it's done this association. So in particular, what I study is the memory extinction. So I need to make the animal extinguish this fear association between the tone and the aversive stimulus.
How would you do that?
So I will present the animals with several sounds without any aversive stimulus. So the animal gradually learns to associate the sound with safety because the sound will be no longer predictive of danger because it will learn that after the sound, it will not be presented this mild foot shock again. So, and also the fear response of the animal will gradually decrease.
So are you also looking for, say, different neuro or chemical pathways, different things that are going on that way?
Well, yeah, in particular, I'm looking at the role of the endocannabinoid system in regulating the communication between the subbrain regions, the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex involved in this fear extinction process.
And what is endocannabinoid?
Endocannabinoid system is a neurotransmitter system that we have in our body, in our brain. We can say it's our brain's version of cannabis. So it's like endorphins with morphine or heroin.
What you're saying then is that just like people might smoke up cannabis, our brain actually makes its own?
Yeah. But we don't need to smoke cannabis to make our own cannabinoid. Like our brain makes its own cannabinoid by itself. Like we don't need to smoke cannabis to induce this release.
So how does that work then within the system? And why might it help you in your research looking at memory and fear and PTSD?
The endocannabinoid system can regulate a lot of functions, such as the stress response, the emotional memory, but also many other functions like our immune system or like the food intake. So it relates to my study because it's importantly involved in the regulation of fear memory, of emotional memory.
So might that explain why people who do suffer from PTSD, why they might self-medicate with cannabis?
Yes, this might explain because these people self-medicate with cannabis, so they have this relief from anxiety, but also it might help with memory. But there aren't enough studies to say that, so more studies are definitely needed.
So in the work that you're going to be doing now with the mice in creating fear and trauma in them and then trying to get them to let go of that fear and memory, can you speculate on how that endocannabinoid system works there? What is it doing to that memory to get rid of that fearful memory?
Well, there are already evidence in the scientific literature that endocannabinoids are involved in this process. For example, there are studies that demonstrate, in animal studies, of course, not human yet, but they demonstrate that boosting our endocannabinoid system might help in promote the extinction of these memories. And what I will study is if this endocannabinoid modulation will regulate the cross-talk between the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala.
What are you hoping the outcome of this will be? Are you hoping that there might actually be a pharmacological fix to this?
I will give new understandings on the mechanisms underlying these memory processes, fear memory extinction. I hope that my findings will give a starting point for clinical studies to help and to find new therapeutic strategies to treat PTSD, maybe based on cannabinoid drugs, which might like to treat this cognitive feature, and which may be coupled with the psychological therapy, which is now what is used to treat this cognitive part of PTSD. This therapy is called cognitive behavioral therapy, and maybe coupling this psychological therapy with a cannabinoid-based drug might help in the treatment of PTSD, and in particular might facilitate the extinction of the traumatic memory in PTSD patients.
So there might even be a way of enhancing the body's own natural way of producing.
Yes, these drugs act boosting our own endocannabinoid system, so increase the concentration of our endocannabinoids. So the effect this way might be more selective instead of smoking marijuana, which could activate different brain regions, so might have also different, like, the endocannabinoid system regulates different functions, so maybe smoking marijuana might activate all these different systems, so might have also different side effects, instead boosting our endogenous cannabinoid and only where and when needed, might have a more selective effect.
So you're looking for something that's quite targeted?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Maria.
Okay, thank you for your interest.